Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Let's turn to John chapter 3. You must be born again. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus says to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answers him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we've seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one can ascend into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses was lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people have loved darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." Let's pause there. Wow. What a powerful, powerful portion of scripture. I mean, if you had a lot, I'm sure you got some questions. There's some things that are difficult to understand. Just the dialogue and the flow of the conversation doesn't seem to make sense when Nicodemus asks one question and Jesus seems to answer him on something completely different. And then he asks a question, then Jesus seems to go, you know, on a kind of heavenly spiritual trip and then comes back again. And Nicodemus is just lost. He's, "I don't know how these things work." He doesn't understand. But I tell you what, in this thing, you've probably seen a whole lot of things that have been answered for you. And a whole lot of things that make sense. And as Jesus communicates and as he speaks, light comes to us and we can understand. I mean, just as far as what does it mean to be the church? Should we be the church of Jesus Christ, or should we be another church? Because if we're the church of Jesus Christ, I love this. It says, he didn't come to condemn the world. If you come to church and feel condemned, please, it's not Jesus condemning you. And if it's one of us, forgive us, because we haven't quite understood the word. Because he did not come to condemn, he came to save and to set free. Isn't that beautiful? And if we then become a church who are like Jesus in every way, we're not going to condemn the world. We're going to try to save the world. Hello? Let's be like Jesus in every way. So, I love this. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, and Jesus turns on the light. He wants us to come to the light.
And that little portion of scripture starts with darkness but ends with light. And this is what I'm trusting that every one of us would have here. There are two roads that you can take in life. There's the Nicodemus road, and then there's the Jesus way. And the Nicodemus road is firstly this. Nicodemus means victorious among people. Who wants to be a Nicodemus? It's like, okay, wait, Brad often asks these trick questions. We all say yes, and then we realize we had to repent of saying yes. So I'll just let you know right now. So, victorious among people, and this is the way of most people on the earth. It's the path to greater success, to achievement, to premiership among our peers. We celebrate the conqueror. We hold in high esteem the one who makes it in every way. We want to eat the fruit of the tree that makes us clever and divine and proud and attractive and pleasing. We want all that kind of stuff. That's the Nicodemus way. That's man's way. Man's way. And he'll work hard for it. Man will do whatever he can. He'll press himself. He'll discipline himself. He'll exercise himself as much as he can so that he can have the externalities and the outside of the cup looking clean, yet the inside, we ignore that because we don't want to deal with it. And it's the point, it brings us to the point of legalism. We strive for greatness, but we never really get there. We're okay with a bit of God as long as a bit of God is for my sake and not for God's sake. It's all about the outward behavior and the things that draw attention. It's what makes us nationalistic. It's what makes us racist. It's what makes us superior to others. The Nicodemus way. Jesus refers to this as the way of the flesh. It's the way of the world. It's earthly. And he says there's some shocking comments about it. Every single person that's been born of water, that's been born of the flesh, perishes. Guess what? You're going to die. Sorry for the bad news. And you know what? The way of the flesh, it never amounts to anything because you can have all the world and when you go, you've got to give back all the world. And so in all your pursuing and all your going and all your reaching, at the end, it's condemned. And you live to die. And everything you made, you give away and you lose. The Nicodemus way is so sad in so many ways. And you know what happens? It's judged by God. Because we get into the habit of doing what's wrong and our deeds become evil and we like darkness. And the minute there's any light, we shy away from the light because we don't want our hearts to be exposed. In fact, we hate light. We hate light. We stay away from it because we don't want the darkness inside to be exposed. I've confessed two sins this week to people. And it's very interesting to note that when people have an expectation of a pastor and the pastor expresses that he sinned, their worlds fall apart. You know what? I'm not afraid of the light. If I've done wrong, I'm not going to hide that thing in darkness. If I've done wrong, it's got to come to the light because I don't want to hate the light. I love the light. But the way of the Nicodemus is don't cover it, don't tell it, keep it to yourself. Live fake. Make it look good on the outside. The inside's fraught, but hey, let's just put a little bit of smelly stuff on the outside so nobody smells it. That's this way of the world, folk. It's the magazine cover. It's the, I mean, who posts on Facebook that they've got athlete's foot? No one. Who posts on Facebook that you got sick from something you ate? I mean, there are some people like that. Shame. We've got to pray for them too. But most times, people are putting out the best of the best. And when you go through their lives and you think, geez, look at this person. Look how amazing they are. Then you feel like you want to commit suicide because your life is so bad. Well, there's a reality, folk. Most people are hiding what's broken. And most people are putting out what's cute and nice and wonderful. And we all see the outside and we all want to have the outside. That's the Nicodemus way. It's looking for the best way. It's looking for the kingdom, but it's trying to achieve it with its own works, with its own efforts. And every now and then, the Nicodemus way and the way of Jesus seem to cross paths. But as a result, there's whispers of eternal life and we think, wow, that sounds amazing. But we don't understand it. We don't want it. We don't want to accept it. Because too much questioning just leads us to unbelief, and in fact, I'd rather not believe because it's comfortable not to believe. Because if I have to believe, I've got to change some things. So let me just push away, the faith of stuff, and let me just live ordinary, everyday. We all make mistakes, someone said this week. Let's just keep making mistakes. But then there's the way of Jesus. And Nicodemus acknowledges that Jesus is a teacher and kind of sees there's an inclusion of God in the mix here because he's quite surprised that there's miracles that this Jesus does. But now Jesus starts to talk about what it means to live his way. He says, basically, Nicodemus is saying, I can see you're a teacher. What Nicodemus is really wanting as one of the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees, the best of the best, the guy who's most concerned about Israel being pure on every level, he's wanting to know whether he's pure. And Jesus gets straight to the heart because, as we learned last week, he knows what's in the heart of man, and he knows what's in the heart of Nathaniel, and he knows what's in the heart of this Nicodemus. And as Nicodemus comes towards him, he says to him, if you want the kingdom, you've got to be born again. Just cut straight to the chase. Don't get into all these questions about what must I do to obey all the commands of God. Just stop it right now. All that earthly stuff, you haven't seen anything yet. You want to be earthly, you carry on being earthly. But if you haven't seen anything yet, because what I'm about to tell you is a whole other way. It comes from above. It comes from heaven. It comes by the Spirit. It's completely different. You've been living your life in this realm, but there's a whole other realm that I want to show you. And it's a realm that brings life and freedom. And it's a gift, and it's by grace. How wonderful. And so Jesus says to him, there's a way that's from above. It's like the wind. It carries those who are surrendered to it in every direction. It's a way that's heavenly, that's deeply spiritual, that's beyond anything natural. The Jesus way includes habits that are true and deeds that are of God Himself through us. It has no condemnation and is full of light and full of love and full of life. It's the way of the kingdom. But Nicodemus asks, how? How? What do I do? Give me the 10 points that I've studied and taught and preached to Israel, this and that, to being clean. How? How do I do it? Jesus says, it happens to you. It happens to you. You can't go find it yourself. You can't dig somewhere under a bush. You can't do this, do that, clean your life, religion your way into everything. It happens to you. And when it happens to you, it's amazing. Who wants this to happen to them this morning? I mean, the kingdom of God, when it breaks in, you know, how many of you had a say over your natural birth? I mean, could you choose your color? Could you choose your where, your who, your how? No. And so when it comes to the heavenly birth, how much of a part do you think you play in the heavenly birth? Very little. Very, very little. So, well then, must I do nothing at all? Is it just automatic? Not quite. Because there are some ingredients. You know, there's ingredients to you being born. The womb of your mother, the seed of your father, the combination of the two, and life came about. And in the Spirit, there are some things required. We need the presence of the Spirit. We need faith in our wombs and within our hearts. And we need the seed of God's word, the Father, impregnating us and imparting life to us that is so wonderful and so different. Once that seed is imparted in our lives, it changes everything. What happens to you is not like anything you could have done yourself. You could have tried to make yourself happy with money, with fame, with sleeping around, with trying to be politically powerful, all these kind of things. There's nothing that like that life that when it enters your heart, it gives you a joy that is beyond anything on this earth. Hallelujah. Are you hungry for this, folk? And if you've got it, it should be growing. And I'm trusting that something would stir within you, because He doesn't stop happening to you. If He's happened to you, He still happens to you. He still reveals Himself. He still shows Himself. He still wants to do amazing things. But I tell you what, we often are on the Nicodemus way. And having started out in the Spirit and God doing something that's completely changed our lives, we then go back the Nicodemus way. Now I've got to be good. Now I've got to read my Bible. Now I've got to pray often. Now I've got to do all these things. Let it happen to you again. Let the Spirit of God that came and started everything, let the Spirit of God come again and challenge you and change you and move you. And if He, like the wind, wants to take you this way, then go that way. If He wants to go this way, go that way. Stay away from the Nicodemus road. Stay away from the achievements and the success and the look good among people. God has not added to your life so that you can look good to others. God adds you to His life so that He can look good to the world. It's either you taking a hold of Him for yourself, or He's taking a hold of you for Himself. One is from the earth up, Nicodemus. One is from heaven down, the Spirit in the way of Jesus. It's got to be Him, folk. Jesus says it happens to you. It comes from above. You must be born again. Wow. Ephesians 1, I love this, verse 13. It says, in Him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Hear the gospel, surrender to the Spirit, and believe in your heart. And that's where the birth takes place. What do I need to believe? You ask the question. Good. Let me tell you. Because Nicodemus, he's asking the question, what must I believe? Where must I go? So Nicodemus believed what he taught. He taught Israel from the law of Moses and everything that was needed for acceptance in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus yet plainly tells his teacher of Israel that he has completely missed it. A teacher of Israel who's teaching Israel how to be the true Israel has completely missed it. Because he says, because you haven't been teaching them about me. Folk, let's not get so tied up with Israel that we miss Jesus Christ. I know some guys that have left church life, believers in Jesus Christ, and have joined a shul, and even done all the stuff, circumcision and everything, because Israel's the true people of God. They've missed it. Jesus says, I've come. I'm the true Israel. I'm the Messiah. If you put your faith in me, that's what makes you the people of God. Don't get hung up about this and that. Fuck, I tell you, religion is so scary and dangerous. I'm going to touch on some of that now as we go. So anyway, this Nicodemus is teaching the law. He's teaching Moses. And Jesus says to him, let me tell you a little bit about the teaching of Moses. Let me highlight just one little aspect within that teaching that you've been encouraging Israel to follow, and let me show you something. It's actually all about me. Numbers chapter 21, from verse 4 to 9. Listen to this. So, as you know, God opens the sea. We sang about it this morning. He parts the sea, and Israel is set free from slavery in Egypt. And all the plagues and all the things that have happened, the Passover, all those things have taken place. And Pharaoh says, get away from here. And so Israel make their way through dry ground. They come into the desert. And God starts to supply for them light during the day. I mean, light during the night. Light and day as well, with the sun. Light during the night with a ball of fire to keep them warm in the desert. Ever been in the desert? It's pretty cold. So a ball of fire to give you light and warmth in the desert. In the daytime, a cloud and a pillar of smoke to give you shade. And when they're hungry, He pours manna out of heaven for them to eat. I mean, folk, this is not stories. This is reality. This happened. Do you believe that? So, they get to the point where they're still in the desert. Now it's like 40 years in the desert. Jeepers, when are we going to get out of this place? Can you imagine? You're like, I mean, we used to at least eat onions in Egypt. There's not even an onion yet. They're moaning. And God has said to them time and time again, He says, I promise you, I've got a promised land for you. I've got places for you. I've got victories for you. I will be your God and you will be my people. Time and time again, God is saying, trust in me. Trust in me. I'm your father. I'm your leader. I will guide you. You don't need man to do this. You don't need all this stuff. I am your God. I've saved you not to kill you. I've saved you to use you for my glory so that the whole world can be saved. That was the aim of Israel. For the world to be saved. But now Israel are like, you know what? This God and his Moses, whatever his name is, all they've done is brought us here to die. So God says, fine. If that's what you believe, that's what you'll have. If you think that that I brought you to the desert to die after I've told you I'm going to give you life, then die. I mean, if that's what you believe. So he sends snakes among the people. And the snakes bite everyone. And everybody that gets bitten by the snake has this poison in them, and they're dying. And now they're starting to cry out to God. No, no, wait. Sorry, God, no, we didn't mean what we said. Help us. And they say, Moses, please cry out to God on our behalf. And Moses goes to God and intercedes for them. And Moses says, God says to Moses, I want you to do something. Let me read it to you. So Numbers 21, verse 4 to 9. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land. I mean, if they'd seen the Red Sea, they'd be like, sure, we remember that. Wow. I know, but let's forget about that because we don't have food in our stomachs. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Thanks a lot, God. For there's no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Wow. Gee. You know, like we make a hamburger for Ethan. He says, I don't like hamburger. I'm like, excuse me, buddy. Anyway, another story. This worthless food. Then the Lord sent, he loved the burger, he ate it. When the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that that many people of Israel died. And people came to Moses, and they said, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live. That's amazing, eh? What do you have to do? Just go look at the pole. That's it. Look at it. And then it's the antidote. The poison sweats out your body or it disappears or whatever. It just gets absorbed and you're healed. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. Here's the beautiful picture. Jesus is God the Son, come as man from heaven to men to save them and set them free. The Nicodemus road is a road of save yourself, but you can't. But the Jesus way is the way of God saves you. The Nicodemus road is a poison that has gripped and bitten every single person on this earth. Because from the Garden of Eden, there was another snake, and that snake said, don't trust that God. Don't put your faith in the one who's above. Come and eat from what's below. Take out of the earth and take the worldly thing and eat the fruits of the knowledge of good and evil, and you decide for yourself what's the right way for you to live. And bite that thing and enjoy it, because when you eat it, you'll be like God. You'll achieve. You'll be successful. You'll be everything you made to be. What happens? They bite it and God says, did you do what I asked you not to do? Because I told you, if you do, you'll surely die. And the poison is in. And the poison is in now, folk. And for 2,000 years, the poison has been doing what the poison does. It corrupts and it kills. And when we look around, we wonder, oh, this person's like this, and why is that president like this, and that president like that? Guess what, folk? It doesn't matter which president you've got, there's poison. And unless Jesus Christ comes from above and changes things, that's the only way things are going to change. And Jesus is doing it, whether we had the poison guy or not the poison guy, you could have poison too. Hello? It's all about Jesus Christ. Because when he comes, he's the antidote. And God saw this and he had mercy on us. And he says, anybody who looks to my son, because as I'm lifted up, like Moses lifted the serpent in the sand, as I'm lifted up on that pole there, I myself am going to take all your sin upon me, and it's going to look like I'm the snake, but I'm lifted up so that you can be set free from the poison. How awesome. And to believe in him, just to look with faith in your heart. You're born again. That's how. Will you believe in Jesus Christ, folk? There is no other supply for the antidote of sin and pain in your life. Only Jesus Christ. If you'll believe it, then run to him. If you don't believe it, then run back to Nicodemus. Run back to the doctor. Run back to the person who's got money in your family. Run back to this. Run back to this. Run all over the place, because that road will tire you out until you realize, I've got to go to Jesus Christ. He got tired out on that cross and died for you so that you could be set free. What kind of freedom would you want? Hello? What's in you? What poison is still manifesting? What poison is still causing you to be addicted to more of it?
Come to Jesus and let him set you free, folk. Look to him. Put your faith in him. Because you know what? Nicodemus says victorious among the people, but Jesus Christ is victorious for people. And he rose again from the dead, and he's victorious over everything. You want the victory of man, or do you want the victory of God, which is freely given as a gift to you? Freely given. You don't have to earn it. You're just going to let it happen. I mean, letting something happen and making something happen are two completely different things. Everybody's trying to make stuff happen, but I tell you what, when God makes it happen, it happens to you. Your life has changed. Who wants freedom today? Who wants healing today? Who wants change in relationships today? Who wants to see the poison, the antidote administered in supernatural power released today? Will you look to Christ today? Because it doesn't say they looked at the snake and then they went for a while still with poison and then it disappeared. When they looked, they were healed. It's immediate. You want to be born again? This is not a long labor process. You're born. And again. As I say again, you're born. No. You know what's amazing, folk? What we all do? Israel took that bronze snake on the pole and they started to worship it. It doesn't say so right there. By the time Hezekiah comes in 2 Kings chapter 18, the people have set that bronze snake up as an idol and they're worshiping the snake and they called it Nehushtan. Because Nehushtan has got two similar words. Bronze and snake sound the same. Nahas and Hush or whatever. I don't know, not much of a Hebrew myself. But they started to worship this thing. So when Hezekiah came, Hezekiah broke down the idols in the temples, had to smash down all these things that they'd stuck up, and the bronze snake, Nehushtan, that they'd been worshiping as the one that saves them. Fuck, you and I are like this. Something happens, we think, yes, man, when I read that Bible, then I'm really saved. When I wave that flag, then the anointing's really there. When I talk to the holy Pastor Brad, then I'm going to get freedom. You know what religion does? Religion wants to make a man, a method, a monument, a moment, a memento. All these things, there's a thing that's going to save us. And he's saying, that's the Nicodemus road. Stop that thing. Come to me. I'll give you freedom because the wind blows wherever it wants to. Stop making it about Israel. Stop making it about a shofar. Stop making it about a shoes, clothing, a collar, whatever. It's got nothing to do with what the Spirit of God wants to do. The minute you try to take something and make it special, you've just gone Nicodemus on everything again. Let's bring the freedom. And if God wants to do things 1,000 years ago that was amazing, then leave it there. If he wants to do something here, then let's get it here. And let's let his Spirit move and do amazing things among us. But let's stop getting religious, making little relics, having little ways and things that, no, if we do this and we have it that way, then God will do this and you've got our 5 points again. Please, folk, your victory's not in your system. Your victory's in Jesus Christ. He brings freedom from those things. You want bondage? Go get the stuff. You want freedom? Have Jesus Christ from the Spirit, from above, not from the earth, stuff that's made and created and formed by people. Throw the stuff away. Let Hezekiah, the King Hezekiah, come smash the pole again. Let the true King Jesus come and get rid of all that thing, all that stuff. And let's put our trust in him. Why, folk? For God so loved the world. So loved the world. He so loves you. He so loves you. He loves you more than you know. He so loves you. Don't for a moment think he doesn't love you because you haven't got the thing that you wanted. He's loved you with an eternal love. He's loved you before he made you. He loves you right now. He loves you enough to give you the gospel from John chapter 3 today. He loves you. He'll keep loving you. He'll never stop loving you. And he said, I'm going to come back for you because I love you. I do not condemn you. I'm not trying to punish you. I love you. For God so loved the world. God, who is love, so loved the world of sinful people. That's who he loves. When he sees you broken, messed up, running off to idols, he's still loving you. He's still throwing his arms out to reach for you and save you. He doesn't stop. That's who he loves. This broken world. You're the object of his love. And the action of his love is he gives you his son, his only begotten son, himself, the third part of the Trinity. He offers himself to you on a cross. I mean, how can he not love you more? What kind of action is that for him to go there for you? I mean, you think he only loves you if he does something nice for you. I tell you, the nicest thing you could ever do is go there and take away the poison. I mean, do you know how much he loves you? He loves you enough not just set you free once. He wants to keep setting you free. He wants to keep showing you his power. He loves you. And the purpose of his love is so that you can have eternity with him. And not knock you off. How loving is this? What kind of love have we received, folk? What's the requirement of it? Simply look. Simply receive it. Simply surrender. Say, oh God, forgive me. Empty the fuel out of your tank and shoot the wheels on anything that's on the Nicodemus road. Burn it and come follow the way of Jesus. It's the only way to go. Give up on that other stuff. Back to John chapter 3. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, verse 22, and remained there with them and was baptizing. John was also baptizing. I love this. When you're born again, get baptized. Don't try to be baptized in order to be born again. When you're born again, then be baptized. Because something private and internal has taken place that you want to express publicly to everyone. As Puledi said, an outward expression of an inward conviction. This private thing that happens inside of you, born again from above, happens in heaven. Okay, now let me work it out in the earth. Let me get baptized. Let me follow the way of Jesus. No longer my way. Down, that thing's in the water. Drowned, buried, finished. New way. Let me follow him. Because if he went to the cross and died, and he calls us to follow him, then there are some things that die. But it's the Nicodemus stuff. But when he rises again, so do we. And the stuff that's risen is the heavenly life. And it never ends, folks. This earthly life will end. The heavenly life will never end. Everlasting eternal life. Which life are you putting most of your investment into? The one that ends with nothing or the one that carries on with everything? In verse 25, now, a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. Everyone say purification. No, purification. No, I'm kidding. Purification. I'm stressing this word because it's the key to the whole thing. What are they arguing about? Purification. How to be clean. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to be clean? Do you want to stay clean? Do you know how wonderful it is when you feel clean? That's what Jesus wants to give you. Now, to be born again means you are clean. He cleanses you. To believe in his word is like to take the soap that no earthly soap manufacturer can make and to wash not just the outside but the inside. He makes you clean. When he looks at you, when God looks at you, because of your faith in Jesus, he sees you perfect. He never sees you unclean. He only sees you clean because of the blood that washes us. But if he sees us as clean, sometimes we see within ourselves there are a few things that need a bit of preen. A little bit of cleaning, a little bit of purifying, right? I mean, how many of you know there's still stuff that remains in this life that needs to be cleaned? So there's this process of sanctification. Jesus justifies us in him just as if I'd never sinned on that cross by faith. But then, if I take that upon myself, and the salvation that he puts in me, that spirit that he puts in me, that born-again experience is him inside of me, now it starts to act against all the agents of uncleanliness. And all the agents of uncleanliness start to get washed out and pushed out. And you become pure. So they're arguing about purification. So obviously it leads to, well, who's going to make you purer? John or Jesus? It's either John or it's Jesus. Okay, so look, carries on here. A discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and they said to him, Rabbi,
He who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing and all are going to him. John answered, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. Folk, that pertains to everything. Everything that's been given to you, God gave it to you. Your talent, your ability. I'm telling you now, even the things that you don't have yet is God. Because he wants to see whether you'll put your faith in him. Because faith is the evidence of things unseen. The hope of things, the things hoped for. And it says that when you, even if you die not having received the things that you were believing for, God commends you because the faith is more important. That go, you go to heaven with faith, but you don't go to heaven with your stuff. Hello? So faith has got to be in our hearts, folk. You're battling with something now? See the beauty and the treasure and the cherishableness of faith in your heart while you don't have the thing that you're trusting for. Because if faith in your heart is not precious, then you're going to cry about the thing that you don't have. It's actually a blessing when you're poor in spirit. Luke goes on to say, blessed are the poor. Why? Because they lean more on God. But Nicodemus wants to lean more on the stuff. I'm still going to answer the question, how do you stay clean? A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. Folk, this church, God gave it. Your salvation, God gave it. Where you stay, God gave it. What color you are, God gave it. Who you live, how, where you live, God gave it. The pastor, the president you have, God gave it. You know that? Even in the Bible, Paul says, honor the king. And who's the king he was talking about? Nero. You think our previous president was something. You should have gone and have a look at Nero. And Paul says, honor Nero. So it doesn't matter who it is, whether it's Nero, whether it's Zuma, whether it's Ramaphosa, honor them. Because it's by faith. No, I won't honor this guy. I won't honor that guy. You honor them. God says do it. Watch, because now you've got faith and you're living where? With a different kingdom as the thing that changes your life. Not this earthly kingdom. Some people are so concerned about earthly things that it's all about earthly things. You know what? Heaven invades the earthly thing and changes it. So let's live there. Let's let God determine what's actually happening in our country. And then as he leads us to pray, we pray for it and things change. We're not changing it because we're so scared of it. We're changing it because God says he wants to change it because he loves the world. He loves the world so much that he gives prayers around the world. And when prayers pray, he changes the world because he loves the world. Isn't that amazing? Okay, so when it comes to purification, where do you get it? A person cannot receive purity unless it is given from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase. I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. Who bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. Wow. A changed life is a powerful advert for the kingdom of God. A changed life, folk. Not a legalistic life. You do this, I do this. You didn't do that, I'm not doing that. That's not the kind of life that changes the world. Judge you, condemn you, doesn't change the world. What kind of life changes the world? The spirit life. Love, joy, peace, patience, self-control, gentleness. That kind of life, when that thing's in us, it changes people. The greatest advert for Jesus Christ is your changed life. You want to make followers of Jesus? Then let them follow the change in you. Tell people when you've struggled. Tell people when you blow it. But let them see the change in you.
It's the greatest advert for Jesus and his kingdom is your changed life. The things that you're struggling with and then being set free. And you're not going to say it's because I followed Nicodemus and I took these tablets every day. It's Jesus Christ. Hello? That's the greatest article and good news for salvation. Your salvation. Is God doing something in your life right now that's amazing? Hello? Then talk about it more. I want to hear it. And we need to hear it. And the world needs to hear it. Hello? Purification, folks. So let me just touch on these things. To be baptized in water is one thing, but to be filled with the Holy, pure Spirit makes no argument of purification anymore. When the Spirit, the pure Spirit of the Holy God is inside of you, it changes everything because it's from above, it's not from effort below. To be purified, katharismos, did I say it right, Terry? Means to cleanse, to purge, to wash off until pure. His Spirit is washing you, folk. Washing you. His Spirit, he wants to pour without measure into your life more and more of his presence, more of his Spirit. We're going to pray right now for you. We're going to pray for everyone to receive more of the Spirit, to be filled, because the only thing that's going to see people saved is your changed life. It's difficult for people to accept Jesus when you tell them about Jesus, but you're still bashing people up with your Bible. Hello? It's difficult for people to follow most Christians because most Christians are judging and telling others what they shouldn't be doing, not remembering this, that the only way your behavior was changed was because your belief changed. So don't tell somebody their behavior has to change because of your belief. Let the kingdom happen to them. Then you'll see them change. Hello? And how does it happen? Give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, the one who like a snake was put on a pole, and if they just look at him, they can be set free. Give them Jesus, fuck. John or Jesus? Who's the purest? I say Jesus. He's from above. Here's a quick one. In the Old Testament, if you were unclean, you had to go through a purification process in order to enter the temple again. So you weren't allowed temple status until you were pure. But Jesus does a completely new thing. He washes you and makes you a temple and restores you to temple status and lives inside of you. Isn't that amazing? Don't you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit, that he dwells within you and he's purchased you with his blood, a blood that washes your body clean. Wow. He wants to restore the temple status this morning, folk. Oh, Lord Jesus, last questions. Do you have Jesus or does Jesus have you? Right? Do you have the Spirit or does the Spirit have you? Second question. Are you a friend of the bridegroom? Ephesians 5 verse 25 to 27 speaks like this to husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Amen. Thank you, Chungu. You are blessed, Lorraine. Husbands, love your wives. Look at the reasoning. As Christ loved the church. Do you want to know how? Coming to church is the most powerful thing for your marriage. Because you see Jesus loving this group of people. So it helps you love your wife. I'm telling you. You see Jesus washing this motley crew. Hello? Myself included. Jesus loves this muhu. Hello? Therefore, I can love my wife. When you see how he lays down his life for his church, how he pours his fragrance on his church, how he beautifies his church, how he gives gifts and talents and he blesses the church, teaches you how to love your wife.
Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, purify her, having cleansed her with the washing of water with the word. Every time you come to church and the word is preached, it's washing you. You're becoming pure. So that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Do you want to be free of your blemish today? And the goal is the wedding supper of the Lamb. He must increase, we must decrease. And then it goes on, verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has given everything into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God, the poison, is still in them.